DrawnByJohn.com presents We Got the Geeks Comic Panel.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Comic Panel, coming to you from our Fortress of Solitude here at the Stu Basement.
An awful lot of people here for Solitude.
Yeah, so K-Stu and I are sitting here, and first of all, I want to welcome back to the program our favorite artist extraordinaire, and I guess now we can call him our favorite stormtrooper as well, Mr. John Balmer.
Well, I'm not officially a stormtrooper yet, but I have been a stormtrooper temporarily.
You've trooped.
I've trooped twice now, Darth Vader and a stormtrooper.
Yay! Nice.
And also sitting in here, we have Tressa and Mara from the big We Got the Geek Monster show. And maybe they'll chime in if they have a thought. Maybe.
Never know.
You're allowed to.
Chiming is allowed.
Hey, I chimed in on their show. It's only fair.
True.
It is true. So first of all, I want to mention a couple of funny comic book related things I read this week that are actually real comics coming out. First of all, Lions Forge Comics has announced a partnership with NBC to create digital comics based on five 1980s properties.
Lions Forge Comics?
Yeah, they're a new company.
I was going to say, NBC has lined themselves up with somebody that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah, but wait till you hear what comics they're doing.
Not Friends, I hope.
No, but we have Knight Rider.
I would read that.
I know you would. That's why I'm saying not Friends, I hope.
And no Golden Girls, sorry.
Aww.
But we have Knight Rider, the David Hasselhoff version.
As a comic?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Airwolf.
I don't think it'll actually make the noise.
Did you watch Airwolf when you were a kid?
A little bit, not that much.
The helicopter show?
The helicopter.
Oh, I know it.
The one I'm excited most about, Miami Vice, the Don Johnson, Philip Michael Thomas version.
I know the show very well.
And is there any other version?
There's the stupid movie I couldn't get through.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I've wiped that out of my mind, so there is no other version.
I watched the movie. I couldn't do it, no. No,
it's a beloved show for me, so I couldn't do the movie. And then two I don't really get. Punky Brewster.
Please say Friends.
Punky Brewster. And Saved by the Bell.
Okay, I'll read the Saved by the Bell one.
Yeah, you will, but what about the rest of the world?
I would totally read the Saved by the Bell one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So it'll be set back in the Zach Morris High School
when
days.
I wear my Kelly Kapowski t-shirt, I get a lot of interest. All of those people will be reading the Saved by the Bell one.
Mr. Belding's a legend. But the comics are going to be released in a variety of platforms, including Kindle, Nook, and Kobo.
So all digital versions.
Yeah. I want to check out the
That's
Miami
not
Vice.
So bad. They're not killing trees for crap.
For Punky so Brewster.
I'm okay with that.
Now I got to buy a new e-reader.
And the other funny one I read... Center Comics, another comic company I've never heard of, are going to be doing a series called Back to the Future. And what this involves, funny enough, so you're aware that Michael J. Fox was not the first choice for Marty McFly, he was Eric Stoltz?
Yes.
And they actually filmed a few weeks with Eric Stoltz as well before they said you suck and got rid of him?
That was my understanding, yes.
So in this series, producer Bob Gale accidentally goes back in time and reinstates Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly as the lead in the movie.
I think the silence says it all.
Well, we were talking about it. How different would it have been in Michael J. Fox's career if he didn't do that movie?
Yeah, he was already doing Family Ties when he did Back to the Future, but...
Yeah, he was doing them at the same time. Maybe he wouldn't have burnt himself out.
Would he have become the star that he is?
Well, he still had Teen Wolf.
Oh, would Eric...
Would
that
he
was
have Teen Wolf?
He filmed that before Back to the Future, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but maybe Teen Wolf would have been bigger if Back to the Future didn't get so huge.
Or maybe no one would have gone to see it, because it came out the same summer, later in the summer. But what if Eric Stoltz became, like, a mega superstar because of Back to the Future? No?
Would Michael J. Fox have done Mask?
Alrighty, then.
I'm just saying.
Maybe they should not be doing this book.
I honestly don't think they should. I would say leave it alone.
Well, I guess the first issue is going to be available for free to download. So.
Well, yeah, because nobody's going to be convinced to pay for it unless it actually is good.
True. Another series I want to run by you. There's Justice League 3000 coming up.
Now, please tell me this is not like the old, Spider-Man 2099 and all those titles back in the day. All
right, I won't tell you, but that's exactly what it is.
Oh, damn it.
So it's basically the adventures of Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and Flash 1,000 years in the future. The good part about this, it's actually being done by the guys that did the humorous run of the JLA in the 80s. Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, and Kevin Maguire. So they're reuniting for this.
Okay, well, there's three names that make the book already worth checking out.
Because the Justice League humorous take in the 80s is one of my favorite runs on any comic.
I don't know. That's a good pairing of talent. There,
yeah.
I say. So my question is now then, what are they doing 1,000 years from now? Because it can't be the same people.
It's different characters.
It would have to be. But now I'm intrigued. You put those three names on there, I'm interested.
Cool. I guess the last time they reunited was the miniseries we read, formerly known as the Justice League, back in the early 2000s. And I think there was the follow-up was, I Can't Believe It's Not the Justice League. That was the Blue Beetle and Booster Gold and Guy Gardner take.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't follow that one myself, but...
Loved it.
I don't know. Anything with any of those three guys is worth checking out, so...
Cool.
Yeah, when we get that book in hand, we'll have to review that one.
Definitely. That's I guess it's coming out in the fall, so...
And the fall is not that far away.
It's not. And also coming out in October is one I know Kat's going to want to check out. It's a new Superman-Wonder Woman team-up monthly book.
All right.
By Charles Soule, and the artist is Tony Daniel, who, of course, had a big run on Batman.
Not Anthony Daniel.
No, it's not C-3PO.
Tony Daniel.
Yeah.
Artist.
Just saying.
So,
awesome Batman artist.
How do you feel about a monthly Superman-Wonder Woman book, Casey?
Are they dating?
They're, yes.
It's just more for me to read.
And so, if it's a monthly title, you're going to be a month and a half behind at all times?
Month and a half on a good day.
Well, I'm shooting for the good day.
I think you'd read it if it was Wonder Woman, Superman.
Okay.
It might be an interesting dynamic.
I'm interested in it for sure. I'm just saying.
Like in the new continuity, they've hooked up in pages of the JLA.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far yet. I think the last issue I read was the issue with them kissing on the cover. I don't even actually know if I read that issue yet.
All right. Well, in the annual that came out that year, Booster Gold showed up and looked at a monitor and saw them kissing. It's like, oh no, I was sent here to prevent that. And then he disappeared into, like, thin air. Like, he was wiped from existence because Wonder Woman and Superman had hooked up.
Is he their love child?
Ooh.
The powerless love child that has a suit and came back in time?
I don't know. In the old continuity, I'm not sure who his father was. His son was Rip Hunter, the Time Master.
But if you're not sure who his father was...
Yeah, oh, could... But why would he be there to prevent them from hooking up, though?
Because maybe she's not actually his mother. Think about it. Superman and an Amazon, you're going to have a mega-powered child.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So maybe Superman was supposed to hook up with somebody else, or he did hook up with somebody else maybe just before Wonder Woman that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
And that ruined that relationship. That incident with Wonder Woman, kind of, Superman doing the I'm a cheat thing. And maybe that screwed up the mother of Booster
Gold. The Boy Scout is going to I'm a cheat.
He's got to do something wrong. Come on. In Man of Steel, he killed Zod. So, the possibility's there.
And millions of innocents.
But, that's something that maybe we don't know about. Maybe Lana Lang is Booster Gold's mommy in the future. All because of the super poke. And Wonder Woman got in the way. Who knows?
Interesting. Never thought about that.
Or maybe. Maybe we'll go with that. Okay. And let's just say that the reason Booster Gold disappeared when he saw that and was like, I'm supposed to prevent this from happening, was because maybe Wonder Woman was actually the one who played Mommy and raised him and regretted that moment.
Hmm.
B- because she got in the way of whatever it was that was between, you know, Superman and his fling.
All right.
I'm reaching at straws here, but, you know.
Couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell.
Everything is possible in the world of comics. And I don't know how I came up with all of that all at once out of nowhere, because I haven't been thinking about this at all because I've been away from my comics for so long. But, you know, I think that's a pretty fair analysis of what could possibly be occurring here.
Could be.
And I have not been paid by DC to, you know, leak information on a famous podcast like this.
It just seemed like it was a bad deal for the world if Superman and Wonder Woman got together. And they didn't say why exactly, so.
Well, yeah, because if she ever gets mad at him, you know, oh, you didn't take the garbage out. Man, like, they're going to level a city. Or two.
Oh, yeah. I can see that happening. So that'll be out in October.
I won't read it.
We'll get K-Stu's opinion.
I'm just saying I probably won't be able to keep up. I'm about 30,000 Wonder Woman issues behind.
Oh, yeah, what you if read.
And
yeah.
That's just her and her alone.
What if they release it to you, like, 6 months in advance, like now, like tomorrow, you get yourself an issue, and that way you're ahead of the game for everybody else. You can review it at the same time everybody else reads it.
We'll see.
Would that be all right?
That'd be okay with me, but
okay.
We'll see.
Let's get our producer to make some calls.
Okay.
Hook her up.
I do not know DC Comics.
1-800-DC-COMICS. Hello.
Sure. Hello.
Send
we have their address. Let's write them a nice letter.
Oh, dear God. Anyhow, Marvel Comics has announced a graphic novel about Spider-Man coming out in April 2014 called Family Business, where somehow it's discovered that Peter Parker finds himself with his sister.
Peter Parker has a sister.
Yes, that somehow Aunt May forgot to tell him about, I guess.
Forgot or chose not to?
I don't know.
Does she have superpowers?
They haven't said. They haven't said. They have said that Mark Waid and James Robinson are co-writing it. Love James Robinson's writing. And the artist is Gabriel Delato, who I guess did some awesome artwork for Secret Wars a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He's a painter.
Yeah, I have some of his stuff. Didn't he do some covers of Green Arrow?
Possibly.
In the kind of revamped Green Arrow?
I think you might be correct, sir.
Yeah, I think it was some of the issues that Guillaume March maybe worked on a little bit.
Could be.
I recognize the name as not being from a ways back.
That's the only thing I know him for, that Secret Wars miniseries, painted series. That'll come out October 2014, but Spider-Man with a sister?
Yeah, I don't know if I could ride with that.
You know what I said?
Maybe a cousin, but...
Yeah.
I don't think he needs to have a sister.
No.
If he does, she needs to die early on.
She needs to pull a Gwen Stacy.
Oh, she's going to be in the way. She's really going to be in the way. The only way a sister would work is if you're introducing her so that he has an important family member to keep that inner conflict, and you kill off Aunt May. Because you know what? Bitch has been around a long time. She needs to go.
Well, let's put this with John. If they're not going to kill off Aunt May, you, of course, remember the whole deal with the devil situation where Aunt May was about to die and Mephisto made Peter and Mary Jane forget they were ever married.
Well, they never should have been married to begin with. Well, those were the crappy years of Spider-Man.
Oh, dude. I disagree. I thought it was nice that Peter matured and got married, and there was no reason for the devil to make them forget their marriage. All for the fact that 150-year-old Aunt May was going to die.
Well, now she's 180.
Yeah.
They're introducing a sister.
Yeah.
Her senile old self couldn't remember to tell Peter that he has a sister. Let's let her go.
Yeah.
Introduce a new family member to have that dynamic. And now Peter's got somebody else to look after. Or she can look after him for once.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, why am I doing... Is it because I'm sitting in this seat that now I'm starting to plan out all the stories for the next run of comics?
Yes, you are...
Am I playing Hunter all of a sudden?
You are sitting in the Hunter seat, so...
This hole in the couch and this pillow are just feeding me weird energy. It's bizarre.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, why don't we take a quick break? We'll get back to some more comic talk right after this.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words. Face front, true believers. John Vollmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3x5 inches to 11x17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Vollmer.
All right, welcome back to the comic panel with myself, the lovely K-Stew. Darth Vader's right-hand man, John Vollmer.
I'm his right-hand man?
Sure. You work for Vader in your suit.
No, because it wasn't my suit.
Right.
And I wasn't working for Vader. Just to set the record straight, I'm willing to admit this because I'm tough enough to handle the outcome. I wore a woman's stormtrooper suit yesterday. It's not like a woman's suit. It's just a woman who happens to wear that suit. And you know what? It was invigorating. I got to troop as a stormtrooper for the first time. And it was awesome. Well, thanks, Andrea. It was really cool.
Well, you did a great job, sir. And seated in the studio, we also have Teresa and Mara, and you might have heard them on our awesome monster podcast, third episode this week.
Yep. Yay. Yep, they're here. They're correct. Quiet.
We're celebrities. Quiet. Here's something I wanted to run by John, because you and I both had the pleasure of meeting George Perez a few weeks back at the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Yes.
So he's just signed an exclusive contract with Boom Studios.
With Boom?
Yeah.
Is that the company that Mark Waid's head of?
They do their own original stuff. They also do adaptations of stuff like Planet of the Apes and Adventure Time and stuff like that.
Yeah, they do the Muppet stuff too, I think. They have a...
Yeah, they... I don't know. I don't think they still are. I think Marvel took over that.
While,
yeah.
But...
They used to have that. They did Die Hard Year One. They had all the Disney properties too till Marvel took that over too. But he signed an exclusive deal with them. I mean, I guess he was fed up with Marvel and DC, and...
Wow.
Yeah, I guess he's going to be starting his own stuff coming up this September. He's going to announce shortly what series he's working on, his own creations, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, he's
I'm going to miss him on Marvel and DC stuff, because...
He's still relevant,
I think. That's been a staple of, like, every comic person's library. If you don't have Perez, you suck.
Dude, when I was a little kid, he was working on Fantastic Four and Avengers, and that's going back a long time.
Yeah, the guy's amazing, and you know what? Like, good for him. If he's going to be doing some creator stuff, like, of his own design, I'm all for it. I want to see it. Like, for sure.
He's also mentioned to Boom Studios, since it's going to be a while until he gets his stuff going, that he's offered to draw covers for anything from Planet of the Apes to Adventure Time. Can you imagine a George Perez Adventure Time cover?
I'd rather not, but I really want to see a George Perez Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
How does the Adventure Time one?
And that's the time I'm going to have to say, okay, Diana, you have to get the Perez cover and not the...
You know what? I'm going to say
this. You get the Perez cover. She can pick whatever cover she wants.
I'm going to say this. You said that this is an exclusive contract with Boom, right?
Yeah, he's not going to be working for anybody else but Boom.
There is a downside to that. Having George Perez leave DC and Marvel... I can handle that. It's, you know, I will admit it sucks, but I can handle that. But making an exclusive contract with Boom, I you know, I'm suddenly taking an issue with that, because he could be doing covers with Alex Ross at Dynamite.
Oh, that's right, too.
Can you imagine a George Perez Green Hornet cover or the Phantom?
Yeah.
I would love to see some of that stuff.
Battlestar Galactica,
Shadow,
man.
Battlestar Galactica. Any of those titles, I would love to see Perez work on those.
That'd be awesome.
Even if it is just covers. So, exclusive with Boom, I think there's going to be some limitations, but I'm really excited for what he's going to do. But, you know what? I hope it's not for too long, like too many years.
They haven't said what the amount of time is.
I would like to see him do some stuff for Dynamite.
That'd be all right, actually.
Because Dynamite, you know... It's that quiet company, but they've got some of the best characters, like classic characters.
Yeah, Green Hornet, Miss Fury.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of exciting.
It is, yeah.
Because he got so fed up with DC after the New 52 revamp. I guess there was a lot of behind-the-scenes deals, because he was working on Superman for a little bit.
Yeah, and his stuff on Superman was great. I was loving that.
That was the only good part of that revamp.
But you know what? To me, Superman was an entertaining book. I know you kind of dropped it,
but
Nicola Scott and George Perez, like, they had some amazing artists working on that book. It was really enjoyable for me to see. So I'm kind of disappointed that, you know, I'm not going to see some more popular character stuff that I've known George Perez for.
Yeah.
But we've got such a vast library from those two companies of what he's done. You know, I'm ready for something else.
Now, you know what? I think I could be wrong, but I think I remember reading in the early 2000s, he went exclusive with some other company as well. And I think he had it written into his contract that I will be exclusive with you guys, except that I have to go do the JLA Avengers crossover. I can't remember what company that was.
Honestly, I couldn't say.
Yeah.
What year was that?
Had to have been like 2003, 2004, something like that. I don't think he was with them for very long.
I don't even know what companies were still around at that time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It might be a company that's no longer with us.
I don't think so. I couldn't be. Because it would probably stick out.
Oh, well.
Looking forward to what he's got coming.
Definitely me, too. And with that, I want to give you the top 10 comics for June. And I have a lot of these comics. Some of them are kind of shitty, but... At number 10, we have Kick-Ass 3, number 1. I haven't even read Kick-Ass 2 yet. Did you read that one? You read the first one, though.
I read the first one, thought it was amazing. I have several issues of Kick-Ass 2. Haven't touched them yet. I got a bunch of issues of Hit Girl. Haven't touched yet.
I'll probably do what I did when the first movie came out. I'll probably read it all in one sitting right after I see the second movie.
See, I read all of Kick-Ass 1. Was it right before I saw the movie?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was right before I saw the movie, and I loved it. I had to leave the room because I was laughing out loud and irritating Tressa. So she sent me to another room to finish reading the book, and it was great. And I really enjoyed the movie. I liked how it was slightly different. So I'll probably do the same thing like you, but I'll read everything before I go see the movie.
So the first issue, that was number 10. Number 9 was All-New X-Men 12. That's the time-traveling X-Men. Number 8, Superior Spider-Man 12. Number 7, Superior Spider-Man 11. 6 was Justice League 21. 5 was Age of Ultron 9. By the way, go back and listen to me and Hunter ripping this series a new one on the last episode.
I'm going to have to.
It was crap.
Because I missed out on that. I remember how much you guys were praising it at the start.
We loved the first two issues, and then it dragged on for a while, and then all of a sudden issue 10 was, oh, totally different story. And Ultron barely showed up in this thing.
Yeah, I'm...
Age of Ultron, without Ultron.
Sounds like a smart Marvel move.
Yeah. So Age of Ultron 10 was number 4. Batman 21, Batman always an enjoyable read, number 3. Something we'll talk about in a minute. Batman Superman issue 1 was number 2. And Superman Unchained was number 1, which I had a hard time getting into, but...
Well, I think I still have your first 6 issues of Superior Spider-Man.
You actually gave them back. I was going to ask you about that. You didn't really say what you thought about them, but you did say you wanted to read the next few issues.
Yeah, I think I did finally... Did I get through... I think I got through issue 6. I know the first 5, I loved. I'm pretty sure I read issue 6. It's going back a little while now.
Yeah.
But you know what? That was a Spider-Man. You know, Doc Ock being Spider-Man, that whole kind of... him trying to come to terms with, I'm completely different, but look what I can do now. I was loving that.
Yeah.
So, you know, hearing you guys talk about it week after week and, you know, being behind the scenes and not really knowing what's going on, I thought it was a great concept, but I didn't know how they would pull it off. And reading that, that was some of the best Spider-Man stuff I've read in a long time.
As an original idea. And
It was an exciting Spider-Man for me again. It was nice that it wasn't Peter Parker. It was cool that he's smarter than Peter Parker.
Yeah.
He's more efficient. He's more ingenuitive,
yeah.
I guess, if that's even a word. Yeah, I definitely want to read more of that. I thought that, what is it up to now?
12, I think.
Okay, I'll take the next issue.
All right, no problem, man. You're probably going to love issue 9, that's all I'll say about that one.
Okay.
And just makes you think that, why couldn't Peter have pulled some of this shit off, you know?
I think
Doc Ock, Spider-Man, is able to juggle time between saving the city and hanging out with his family, you know?
Well, you got Doc Ock, what has he got? A couple of girlfriends and his job. What did Peter Parker have? Girlfriends, high school, Aunt May, jobs left and right, and Spider-Man. Doc Ock is a brilliant scientist. Yes, he's been evil as long as he's been around, but he is brilliant, and he just doesn't have as much crap to worry about. He's got more time to just look at, well, I can do this. Not a, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. It's a, well, I can do this, this can wait.
Yeah.
It was a nice dynamic.
Doc Ock is not a teenager.
And Doc Ock is not a teenager.
And Jameson, loves him, which makes me laugh.
Yeah. I think what it was I was identifying it a lot more because I'm very much like Peter Parker, where I just have 50,000 things on the go and can't really put my focus on any one thing at any one time. And no matter how much I try to put my efforts to it, I screw it all up. It was neat to see that same character in that same situation, but able to handle it all. But it was because it was somebody else. So it's almost like his mind is something else. Now he can achieve all of this. What do I have to do the same thing for me? You know, I don't know. It was something that I was really able to attach to, and I really enjoyed it. And it was exciting to enjoy Spider-Man again, because I've really missed Spider-Man a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't followed the comics with Spider-Man in a long time. I really enjoyed the first two live-action movies. I tolerated the third one just because it was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The remake, the relaunch with Andrew Garfield, enjoyable, but really didn't do enough of it for me to really say, oh my God, that was a Spider-Man movie like the first one was.
Right.
You know, I love the cartoons, but it's, I don't know, I haven't been getting a Spider-Man fix until I read these. Now I feel like I've got a Spider-Man fix again, and I want more.
I'm glad you like them, man.
Yeah, it's excitement wrapped in webbing. It's great.
If only we can get K-Stew to read some of them.
Mm-hmm. K-Stew?
Mm-hmm.
You know this whole book that's out now called Superior Spider-Man?
Yeah.
It's better than Wonder Woman.
It actually is.
I wouldn't know. I'm not reading Wonder Woman either.
Wonder Woman sucks. Read this.
The reboot does, yeah.
I haven't read a Wonder Woman comic since I was in high school.
You might have read the first two issues of the reboot, and you're still getting them. They're going right in the long box.
I think the only Wonder Woman stuff I like is the animated Wonder Woman movie they did.
Oh, that was great. That was
excellent. And the bit that they had Wonder Woman in the animated movie... it was the Justice League animated movie where they're up against Vandal Savage.
Oh, Justice League Doom?
Justice League Doom. Wonder Woman was really cool in that.
Oh, she was awesome.
Because she was just a supporting character, but her fighting against Claudia Black as Cheetah? I don't know. I love that whole sequence. Yeah. That was one of my favorite sequences out of that whole movie. It was just, you know, Wonder Woman just sees everybody as Cheetah.
And knowing you, I imagine you loved when she beat the shit out of Cyborg.
Oh, yeah. Ripping Cyborg's arm off and beating him with it. It was just like, I want to do that to him. And it was just nice to see her just let loose and just beating the crap out of everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I liked that Wonder Woman. I don't like the other Amazon part of it. I just like seeing Wonder Woman just beat the shit out of people. But that's really, like, all that Wonder Woman I've enjoyed. So,
yeah.
Superior Spider-Man. Go with that. It's better.
And I'll let you know, Kat, the Kathy Lee Crosby Wonder Woman movie we reviewed once is now on DVD.
Guess who's not buying it?
Don't need it.
Hey, Ricardo Montalban, did you ever get around to watching it?
I don't even think I saved it. I think I got rid of it. I kept the pilot that they canceled.
Yeah.
The newer one with Cary Elwes in it.
Yeah.
Because I still think that was done great. I really wanted to see that go somewhere because that was a fun Wonder Woman to watch. It was exciting. But, yeah, the Kathy Lee Crosby, I think I ditched that pretty quickly, and I didn't watch it.
I know, we didn't save it. You know, blonde hair, red jumpsuit.
It's not Linda Carter.
No.
And you know what? I will watch Linda Carter.
She's still really, really, you know, hot.
Yeah.
Good looking.
Yeah.
Good looking.
She's really, really good looking.
Oh, goodness me. All right, let's take a break. We'll talk some more comics right after this.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded. Whether you're a pull list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils, everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
All right, welcome back to the comic panel. Sort of got like a Justice League thing going here today. We have Case 2 and John Ballmer and Tressa and Mara and myself. I know you wouldn't be the cyborg if...
No, I'm not cyborg. I'm definitely not cyborg.
I remembered your hatred for cyborg.
Man, I will be like... I'll be pocket lint on the table in the watchtower before I'll be cyborg.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Would you be Vibe before you were cyborg?
No. Because Vibe's worse than lint.
Oh, okay. So, we always have interesting conversations during the commercials, and we were talking a little bit about Wonder Woman and Alan Moore and all kinds of interesting stuff. Do you think they're ever going to get a Wonder Woman movie done?
You know what? I know it will happen at some point. I think it's hard to say when it will be ever happen because it's disappointing to know that pilot that they did that we all enjoyed... It got so much bad press because of a couple of still shots. It got shot down. The show was great.
I liked it.
That really had the chance to go somewhere. And you know what? A couple of bad photos. Well, they're completely out of context. Yeah, she makes a silly face when she runs. Watch any other movie she's in. She does that too. But that's something that the director can coach to, right?
Mm-hmm.
That pilot, we get through that. She learns not to do it in the rest of the shows. That could have led to something with those actors. You know, it was brilliantly done. And I honestly don't know at this point who you would ever get to play Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah. So many rumors over the years.
In a movie now. And I don't know what they would put together with a story because it's going to have to be completely original.
Mm-hmm.
You know, given that we've seen so many attempts over the years. I think that they almost have to do, you know, something on Themyscira and... You know, very little on Earth.
Yeah.
But it's going to have to be all action. If you slow it down for character build-up or love relationships and stuff like that, this movie will fail. If they get just a good old-fashioned, you know, this character's been around for a while, we don't need to build anything up, everybody knows her, we don't need an origin story for Wonder Woman. Let's just get a movie out with her doing action.
No.
I think that'll be fine. But, yeah. I think it'll happen. It needs to be put in the right hands.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe somebody call Gail Simone. She can write a movie.
Definitely.
Yes, she could.
Well, here's the thing. I know there's been rumors for a while that they want to do a Justice League movie. And now with the success of Man of Steel, maybe they'll greenlight that a little bit faster. There should be some announcements of what DC's doing next at San Diego Comic-Con in a couple of weeks.
Yeah. You know, Man of Steel, we've got a good Superman now. Not that we didn't have before. We've always had good Superman.
Yeah.
We've just had poor stories that they were thrown into.
Definitely.
But we've got a really cool kind of modern Superman now. We've always had a good Batman, regardless of which incarnation it was. Mm-hmm. Again, bad stories that they were thrown into. Because, yes, I will give Val Kilmer and George Clooney some credit for being Batman.
I thought Val Kilmer was a great Bruce Wayne.
He was a great Bruce Wayne. And you know what? Those guys were victims of the stories and the directors. So I don't take too much away from them. Just more for the situations they were in. You know, it's... Who would we get for Wonder Woman? I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, what are we going to do about the next Green Lantern? I don't think it can be Ryan Reynolds.
No.
you know, the movie was okay. That was it. We need something better. Let's get Bradley Cooper in there. Let's give him a chance to not make a stupid voice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, or you know what? Scrap the whole Hal Jordan idea.
John Stewart.
John Stewart is a badass Green Lantern. Guy Gardner. God, no Kyle Rayner. But let's, you know, we need to have a Justice League movie. We just don't have enough of us of these characters established to work with one another like they did in Marvel. They set everybody up, but they were never really on their own. And then you really realize that at the end when they have this follow-up of how they're tying into the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with DC, all of these guys have always been individuals. So they need to come up with a way to tie them together in another movie.
What would you think if they finally did that World's Finest movie they've been talking about forever, like Batman and Superman in a movie together?
Who would be Batman?
I'm not sure. I know Christian Bale won't be Batman again.
No, which is a shame, because he's been great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
could they do something? Because Batman has become very dark again, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Superman, I haven't seen the new one. But to me, Superman is just never dark enough.
He pretty much is in the new movie.
The new movie, it's dark enough without losing the light, I think, is the best way for me to
look at it. They just have always seemed like very two separate people. And I've never, like, from what I've read of them, I've never been a big Superman person. They just seem to clash really bad.
That's part of their dynamic. In the comics, some of the comics and some of the animated series, you know, they're best friends. They really do vibe together because you've got one who has a moral code but doesn't have a lot of limits in some ways. You have another one who's got a really strong moral code but imposes too many limits on himself. They do really gel together, I think. I know you like the Batman-Superman dynamic for sure.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the Jeff Loeb Superman-Batman series from 5 or 6 years ago,
too. Yeah, it was really good stuff. I think the whole DC universe is darker in comics than anybody gives it credit for. So that's why Batman fits so well. That's why this new Superman works so well, I think.
Oh, it's true. From what I've read of Marvel and DC, Marvel is very bright, very, a little more campy, I guess. Yeah. And DC, I much prefer DC because it has always been darker and it has always, I love Batman. He's my favorite, I think, out of all the superheroes. But I'm curious because I've never really, I've watched, obviously, because we have Zane, watched a lot of the Justice League stuff, and I get the humor between the two of them. It just always seemed like such a strange combination.
Yeah, I'm gonna let you watch Arrow.
Yes, sir.
If they're gonna do a Justice League movie, we now have a really cool Green Arrow and Oliver Queen.
Mm-hmm.
He would be good to get in there as well.
Yeah,
you know, and getting Ollie in there, we might be able to cut out another character like Cyborg.
Yeah.
I know it's not going to happen. Cyborg's become so popular thanks to Geoff Johns that he's inevitably going to be in a Justice League movie. And he's going to look stupid because he's going to look like RoboCop.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But, I don't know. I think that we need a Justice League movie, but I think it has to be dark. They have to really pay attention to the people that they get in these suits. Because if they just go with who's popular, it will fail before it starts.
Definitely.
It's not, yeah, they can't do the same thing as Marvel did. It would bomb.
Yeah.
They can't put all these really popular people in a movie together. It worked for Marvel, it wouldn't work for DC.
Marvel did the right thing, like I said, about building it up with everybody being themselves just outside of this group and then let into it. DC has never even pointed at the possibility of this group. So they need to start doing some of their next movies, Ant-Man and stuff like this, as it happens. They need to point to this possibility that there is this group. Unless they do exactly what they did with the New 52, they just throw everybody in the universe together and they all introduce each other to themselves at the same time during a battle.
Yeah.
That might work. It worked in that first issue of Justice League because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But I'm sick of Origins. Let's just put them all together in a movie and get them fighting.
That's something. Your problem with superhero movies too, right, Kath?
Yeah.
there's just always too many origins.
Way too many origins.
You can only see it once or twice, and then you're like, I get the story.
Yeah.
I don't need all the back stuff. I need forward.
I need a new comic book movie to come out that starts off as if we've always known that they've been there.
Yeah.
And we don't get some of that backstory. Why did Wolverine work for so many years?
He never had a backstory.
And he didn't have a backstory.
Nobody has ever... Even to this day, we really don't have everything. Even after that good run by the Kuberts of Origin, we got a lot. But there's still so much mystery behind Wolverine. He's just a character who showed up fighting the Hulk. And everybody loved him.
Yeah.
And I feel like you can successfully tell a story if you can start in the middle.
Yeah.
And just snippets here and there of, and this is why this is, and this is why this is. Because, like, Wolverine showed up, sort of fighting Hulk. We eventually found out his adamantium skeleton and all of that. But it's not like we had to start there and then introduce him to the Hulk. Like, you'll find bits and pieces out. You'll put it together.
That
and
might
be. The flashback scene.
Yeah, and Hollywood's not giving the viewers enough respect to say, I think you can figure this out.
Here's a great example.
They're spoon-feeding and saying, this is how we're going to build it.
Remember the first Michael Keaton Batman?
Yes.
Not an origin story, but there's a flashback scene in the middle that kind of said where he came from. That's
all you need.
He's already established.
Yeah.
And I liked that they had the origin with Christian Bale because it became a darker movie. Whereas... The original Batman was a little more campier, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was its own thing. But, yeah, they didn't start it at the beginning. They just had a flashback scene, and it worked.
Even with the new show Arrow, we do kind of start at the beginning, but we really start when he's back, and now we're looking back at him being on the island.
They're just doing it all in flashback.
So it's a...
But they're not...
He's kind of here, or he's just about to happen, but as you go along with him being this character... You're learning those little tidbits along the way. So it's not really an origin. You got a whole season through before you really... We still don't even know exactly what drove him to what he is.
Yeah.
So that's what DC needs to do. Okay? I'm calling you out, DC. Like, holy crap. Just start in the middle. Give us all of these characters ready to go in a fight as if they've been here for the past, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. They're here. Give us the origin later. It doesn't matter. You know, we know. Even the people who've never read a comic before, they need to see what's happening now.
And the good thing about it is that's how you create your storylines, is if we don't know everything about them at the very beginning and we're not seeing every single minute of how they became who they are, that's how you can create dynamic, is this all of a sudden somebody has a flashback when they have a particular moment with another character.
Prime example. Spider-Man. They revamp him. Have to give him a whole new origin.
Yeah.
You know what? Spider-Man's been around forever.
Everyone knows his origin. Yeah.
Yeah, we know. He was a teenager. He went to school. He's got an aunt. Uncle died. He puts on a suit. Swings from...
I mean, there's going to be new fans introduced at all times. I get that. They're trying to... Let's include this generation. And then 3 years, there's kids old enough to watch it. Let's start it over again. It's like, just stop.
But you know what?
Just do a flashback. Here's the origin. Done.
The new generations, they're being spoon-fed everything.
Yeah.
They're dumb. Let's give them something smart. You know what? Let's look back to the Indiana Jones movies. An established character, right from the get-go, and you learn little bits about him through 3 different movies. We still don't know a lot about him. You know what? Let's make these people start thinking again. You got a new audience coming out? Give them something that they have to learn and research.
Prime example, Star Wars.
Ding, ding, ding.
Episode 4. We knew none of these characters. We knew nothing about them.
But they had been around for a long time in a galaxy far, far away.
Did we not go to the movies? Did we not go and see the second one? We still didn't know where Darth Vader came from. Yeah, then they come out with episode 1 and it's like, the beginning of Darth Vader.
I think I'm going to email this podcast to DC, and I'm going to tell them, you need to hear what we have to say, and Hunter wasn't even in the room for this.
Hunter was here.
Hunter was here?
He'd be ranting.
He would agree with me 100%.
Oh, I'm not saying he wouldn't.
This would be something that him and I would actually agree on, and...
Why isn't Hunter here? Ryan's gone.
Oh.
Actually, that's a good question.
You know what? I kind of remember the movie The Incredible Hulk. I kind of think they got it a little bit right. They had the origin in the opening credits.
Yeah.
Like, even do that, you know? That's, get it out of the way right at the beginning.
I'm thinking of the Marvel, like, flipping the pages through, and it's like, just do that.
Just do that.
I'll get it like The Matrix. Just
yeah, that would be great. Just in the little flicks in the beginning. Still pictures.
Slow it down a little bit.
Got it.
Because sometimes it goes a little
bit.
The
end.
But that's what DC needs to do to make a Justice League work, is they need to just put them together, throw them at something, give them an amazing... Let's find them in a fight.
Darkseid.
You need a villain, and they need to use the villain. Because they're not using villains anymore, either.
And how are you going to use a villain? You're going to use a villain by having him there and not worrying about the buildup of all these characters leading to it. So you don't find out about the villain halfway through, and then he's dead by the end of the movie. Let's have the villain at the beginning. We can learn about all these characters later. Let's have a villain that's there from start to finish and is really putting our characters into a lot of turmoil.
I like it.
I'm serious. We got the geek. Our whole crew needs to just sit down and write the next 10 years of DC continuity. I love that company. They're my favorite company. And, you know, I'm never going to stray from DC. You know, even for the sake of Captain America. But they just, for their films, they do the comics right. For their films, that's where they miss the mark. They're not hitting the chord for me that really puts everything together. There's too many individuals.
Yes.
I'm sorry, have I gotten too passionate on the subject?
No, that's okay, man. That's okay. Let's take a quick break, though, and we'll come back for the final segment.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, welcome back to the comic panel. We're here with Rantin' Johnny Balmer and Mara and Tressa and Kaystu.
I'm only ranting because I'm in Hunter's seat, and I can't help but, his vibe is, like, melded into the hole here.
Real quick.
In the couch.
In the couch, yeah. Yes.
You mentioned this in one of the commercial breaks, and this movie's always been a joke to me. The 1990 Captain America is coming out on Blu-ray?
It's out on Blu-ray.
Oh, it's out already.
It's out. I saw it on the shelf, and I haven't grabbed it yet. I'm going to. I'm going to hug it and love it and squeeze it until it dies.
Yeah, he tapped me and made sure I noticed it was there.
I remember this movie when it first came out in the 90s. I rented it right away because it came right out the videotape. Yep. Kath saw it about 5 or 6 years ago. We were flipping the channels one night and it was on. And like, you don't want to watch this. It's bad. And she's like, no, no, I want to watch this. I want to see it. And what did you say at the end?
Why did I watch this? It was bad.
You watched it for the rubber ears.
And the Italian Red Skull.
And the Red Skull was the best part about that movie. And the president giving a thumbs up.
Golly gee, you're the same guy?
I don't know, it's...
The rubber ears.
That movie's got a soft spot for me. I love the Rev Brown 70s movie.
Oh, I know you do.
You know that. You've witnessed me watching it with you.
A soft spot, like a baby skull?
Yeah, like on
push
the top
it,
of the
you
head.
You just start drooling?
Yeah, if you push it too hard, you know, they go all nuts. But, I don't know, the 1991 is, and I'm gonna be harsh about this, it's a shitty movie. It really is. But I still love it. I can't help it.
He really does.
The new one, you know, with Chris Evans, I never thought I would like him as Captain America. He blew me away. And...
Johnny Storm.
The work that was done by everybody involved with Captain America, it was like everything gelled. The way they did him in the Avengers, like, I am now getting Captain America the way I've always wanted to get Captain America. I love the campy stuff,
mm-hmm.
But this is great.
Excited for Captain America 2?
I am, yes.
I've heard we should get the first trailer for that in a couple of weeks at San Diego.
I'm hoping so. I'm not a fan of the poster. It's a shield. Who gives a shit?
The shield with all the paint ripped off it?
Yeah, it don't matter. But the idea that, you know, I said right away in the first one, like while we were in the theater watching it, Bucky falls from that train. We don't see him hit. We know we're going to get the Winter Soldier. I was excited. I'm like, yes, we're going to get the Winter Soldier. I wasn't expecting him right away.
I was expecting maybe Cap 3.
I was expecting, yeah, probably maybe the third or fourth movie we'd get a Bucky coming back as a Winter Soldier. What I'm thinking, though, might be really good here is we might get a great battle. You know, as long as they don't do something stupid like kill him, you know, let's keep him around and he gets away. Maybe Cap 3, something happens like the death of Steve Rogers in comics that happened, and we get Bucky to come back as Captain America.
I love that run, man.
That was an amazing run. As much as I bashed Brubaker and, you know, hated the way he ruined so much stuff for me, his writing on that was brilliant. And a Bucky as Cap would be great on film because he's such a different Cap.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. That's all I'm going to
say. But the 1991, yes, it's on Blu-ray. Go get it. I'm going to. I recommend it.
Rubber ears and all.
Rubber ears, yes. I'm going to probably watch it again. That's the sad thing.
I know.
That's the sad thing. So we read a comic. And Catherine's read it today, and John looked through it, so let's talk about it quickly. First issue of Batman Superman by Greg Pak and Jay Lee. John, I know you're not a fan of Jay Lee.
I was.
Oh, you were?
I didn't like his work before. He did The Sentry.
I remember that series.
Him and Paul Jenkins did an amazing job on that series. It fit. It was great. And then I didn't like Jay Lee after that. His art style really... It doesn't seem comfortable to me. It almost seems like it's tortured, and it bugs me for the characters that he works on with that style.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's... The nice thing is, in this book, the first half of it was drawn by Jay Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It wasn't bad. His style, I didn't think it fit, but it was okay. It's the artist that did the last half of the book that I thought, oh my God, this is an artist who needs to draw Batman. The artist who did the last half of that book has mad skill, man. That's somebody who did... Ben Oliver.
Oh, Ben Oliver, yeah.
The way he draws Batman, it makes you think you're looking at somebody in a suit, not a drawing of somebody in a suit.
Okay.
Yeah, the artwork in the last half of this book is great.
Kath, what did you think of it?
I liked it. It thankfully wasn't a origin story.
No, and I know you were a fan of, we mentioned it earlier, the Jeff Loeb Superman-Batman team-up book.
Yeah. But I liked it. It showed the grittiness of Batman and the goody-goodiness of Superman.
And it's earlier in their career because Superman's wearing that suit you hated with the boots and the jeans.
Oh, the jeans and the cape that should be just clipped on with clothes pegs? Yeah, that's stupid. Oh, I hate
He's
that.
He's got a onesie with a belt.
So it looks like this is... Like, early on in their relationship, before they know each other as Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, and...
But you still get that dynamic that they know each other.
Yeah.
I like that.
I liked it. I thought it was a good read. And I haven't been reading a lot of Superman lately, sadly.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's a sparse read. What you're looking at is the storytelling and the art. There's not much dialogue there. It's just enough to kind of give you something that they're interacting verbally. I liked it. I thought it was interesting to see, you know, where are they going to go from here with it.
Yeah, I would definitely check out issue 2. Did you like the story, Case 2?
Yeah. Kind of? I'll read the next one.
Oh, good. Cool. Neat. Oh, I don't know what else to say now.
Well, we can say this. We all read it.
We all read it. I liked it.
It was okay.
Should I read it?
No. Because you don't get enough Batman in it.
You don't, actually.
And you don't appreciate Superman the way he needs to be appreciated. You would look at Superman as a, wow, he's really lame.
I like the Superman movies when I was younger.
Well, the movies, yes. But the movie Superman and the comic book Superman.
And I had Superman sandals. Different.
Okay.
See? Yeah.
I don't think you'd like that one. There's not enough to drive the characters in that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
For you. For but us who know the established
is this
characters.
Only the first issue, though?
Yeah.
Well.
Read it. I don't think I'll be... I don't think I'll be wrong. I don't think you'll like that one that much.
Okay. Well, I'll read it, and we'll see.
It was just nice to read another Superman comic, because I gave up on action in Superman a while back, so...
Well, I'm with you. I gave up on action comics. I stuck with Superman. I've only read, I think, 12 issues in, and I've got another 5 or 6 on the table of
yeah.
comics in the, you know, the mountain of unread. But, I don't know,
I was a gigantic fan before the reboot, so...
Yeah, I love Superman, and I had to stay away from Superman comics for so long because he's just... Everybody makes Superman silly. They just make him... They make him a sissy. He's a sissy who's tough. Like, in a way that... And I don't mean tough in a good way. I mean, like, he's a sissy who can punch through a freaking mountain. Sissy who can punch through a mountain is still a sissy. I think that's why I liked a little bit of Man of Steel. It's a Superman who's got some balls.
Have you seen Man of Steel?
I have.
Okay.
I fell asleep through a big chunk in the middle, so I'm going to watch it again.
Welcome to Case News World.
Yeah, so far the only two superhero movies I fell asleep. Thor, I slept through the end in the theater.
You
he
did okay with
he
Thor.
Wasn't feeling
I was
good.
Okay. I was okay for
yeah,
Thor.
I wasn't feeling good, and I think I was on a stretch with no sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll do
but
it.
I made it through the whole movie right up until the end and never saw what happened to Loki.
I wasn't there, so
it wasn't until the movie actually came out on Blu-ray that I got it and watched it, fell asleep at home and didn't see the end. I think it was probably a good year later that I finally actually just sat down and saw the end of the movie, and I was like, oh, that's what happened. Oh, my God. And then, you know, the Avengers came out right after I finally saw the end of that movie, and it was a... Okay, so how did he come back? Did I miss something else?
I don't think we've ever gotten an answer on that one.
But, yeah, it's...
Not yet.
Not yet.
Man of Steel, just, you know, I got a downloaded copy because I didn't make it to the theater to see it. It's not a great copy.
Right.
And I can't play it on my normal system that I play it on, so I'm playing it on my little computer monitor in my very comfortable work chair. So I passed out. And I woke up just in time to see Superman snap Zod's neck.
Right.
I'm like, oh, so I don't know anything about what just led up to this. But I'm going to watch it again. And there are parts that I did see that it looked like we got a tough Superman again in film. And from what I was reading in the Superman comics, you know, Nicola Scott's artwork and George Perez, I don't know, he seemed a little bit tougher to me.
Oh, he was.
And I like that. I like the tough Superman.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where they go with Man of Steel, too.
Hopefully they don't rush that.
I hope not, too. Oh. I've heard stories about, let's get it out next year.
Oh, my God.
No, because if Zack Snyder's attached to it, there's no way he's going to rush it like that.
Right.
He'll take his time. He'll do it right. You know, he did good by me with 300. He did good by me with Watchmen. I was so excited to hear he was attached to Man of Steel. You know, I like a lot of what I have seen in Man of Steel. I'm going to watch it again to make sure that I can appreciate it. Just don't rush the next one. That, like I said, that's where DC is. They need to focus on building their team structure and setting up what's coming instead of just trying to get out something that's going to make them some money.
Now, what about the other comic book movies coming out? Are you excited at all for Kick-Ass 2 or Wolverine or RIPD?
I'm very excited for Kick-Ass 2 because Kick-Ass 1 was great. And, you know, our wonderful friend Pam Rose apparently was an extra in Kick-Ass 2.
Really?
Apparently there's this cemetery scene that gets all shot up.
Okay.
And apparently she's in there somewhere.
I'll have to look for her, though.
So that's going to be amazing because, you know, like I always say, Pam Rose is in the background of just about everything in my collection.
We like playing Where's Pam?
Yeah, it's like a drinking game. You know, you, whenever you think you see Pam in the background, but it's not her, you got to take a shot. You know, it's like the ultimate drinking game. What was the next one you said?
Well, the Wolverine's coming
out. The Wolverine? That's, they're putting him in Japan for this one, right?
Yeah, it's loosely based on the 1982 Frank Miller, Chris Claremont miniseries.
I'm excited because I like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I think he has become that character better than anybody else that I could picture in that role. So I'm excited, because I liked the last Wolverine movie.
I liked about 90% of it. Some of it was hokey as
hell. I liked about 96% of it.
Okay.
And I really liked that he got shot in the head with an adamantium bullet. That's awesome. You know, that was just cool.
Yeah.
There goes his memories. Woohoo! Bye-bye. So I'm looking forward to just seeing that character on screen again, because it's an amazing character on screen.
Yeah.
But I'm not too thrilled about the story.
No?
No.
Okay.
I think the story will be a little bit boring.
You want to see Wolverine fighting ninjas?
Okay.
Silver Samurai's in it. And Viper.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not thrilled about the story, but I'm looking forward to seeing the character again.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, John. Well, I want to thank you guys for all coming in today for the comic panel. It was interesting. Get you sitting in the hunter seat more often.
Yeah, because I've never been this loud or this vocal in the studio, I think.
Yeah, right.
No, there's a possibility I've been louder and more vocal this time than any other.
It's up there.
I didn't shut up this time. I even interfered in two other segments. And we only did one other segment before me, so there you go.
He went back in time. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time here on the comic panel.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.